Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we want to continue our study on the coming revival and how we are to, as a church, to participate in this. And look at today some past history within biblical context and worldly context, natural context, of where his presence has come, and then why it doesn't habitate and stay in our everyday lives. And we're going through this, reordering our daybook with Chuck Pearson and the section where Robert Heidler is starting to do some teaching on the specifics of past revivals, and then get into what he believes through Scripture will allow us to have that continual, everyday walking with the presence of the Lord in our lives. And he starts off by looking into the different types, or more so, different levels of God's abiding presence. And he deals in teaching his with his omnipresence, his indwelling presence, his manifestation presence. And then he goes to the fourth level, which is ultimately his dwelling presence, or the Shekinah. And he talks about it, how God's manifest presence, what he would consider the third level, is really just a brief visitation of the Spirit. And he goes on to say that how God comes to visit us for a moment, a day, a year, and it's a great blessing, but in reality is that the Lord himself wants more, that he wants to dwell with us, to be with us, to walk with us. And what Scripture and the word Shekinah means is abide, and that habitation, to live with us. Because when you go in the Greek and you look at what the Greek word means here for Shekinah, of Shekan, it means to dwell. And so ultimately it is the Lord's presence is looking to dwell continuously and with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be in a sole location as it did in the Old Testament. But he goes forward and pulls out in Scripture of some evidence of where these visitations have happened. And he says, we see these revivals where God visits for a few days, a few weeks, and in some cases, perhaps a few years. But then his presence leaves. And ultimately, you know, the cry of our heart is to say, well, God, what have we done? What happens? You know, we're trying to wonder. And the question of from everyone throughout church ages and history is, well, how do we get this to dwell? And he points out in Scripture that even the Israelites themselves dealt with this and had this understanding. And this is Jeremiah crying out to God. It says, oh, hope of Israel. God is the hope of Israel. It's Savior in the time of distress. Why are you like a stranger in the land, or like a traveler who has pitched his tent for the night? And basically saying, look, why is this only temporary? Why can't this be longer? And then in Jeremiah, it talks about thing with the sins, the iniquities, about how the people of the land didn't want to let go of their iniquities. They wanted to hold on to them. And that's why, you know, when we were looking at earlier of God exposing and dealing with the things and pruning those things away that could prevent this habitation of the Lord, is why it's ever important for us to let go of that, to get humbled, to go deeper with him in this season, so that we can be prepared for what's to come, not only in the natural as we're seeing what's coming, but also just to be able to have the presence and to habitate with us. And it's not just, oh, so we can make it through this situation. It's so that we can be in that place of walking with the Lord, of having that holy zeal to be like Moses of old, to possibly speak face to face with the Lord. And he poses this question at the end of this segment that we're going through. And he says, we should ask the Lord of how do we have this presence habitate with us as, Lord, why did your presence leave us? And why can't we have your presence with us continually? And he believes that the answer to the question is we do not understand how to live in God's presence. So we have not taken the time to see what brings his presence, number one, and what causes his presence to leave. And we'll build on this this week of understanding how do we get in that place of being with the Lord, understanding how he comes, why he comes, and then ultimately what causes his presence to leave. And there's a host of issues within our personal lives, our families, and things that, you know, this is this is why we walk out our salvation daily. It's because we have issues, we have things that we're walking through, hopefully to be able to get us to that place where we can be in that abiding place with the Lord. And that's the goal that we want here, not only for specifically our nation, but more so for ourselves individually, so that it can then come into the church, come into our families, come into our cities, our states, and then ultimately our nations, and then be able to walk out those prophetic destinies of each level that we describe there. And it's really important to see that the Lord right now, with everything going on, the cries and some of the things we'll get through to here today in the news, is where is our reliance upon the Lord? And so we'll keep that in mind as we go through the news. So obviously today is Juneteenth, the celebration of the ending of slavery, and whether for political reasons or whatever, it's a federal holiday now. Last year it got voted in. So banks are closed. The president, Congress, the Senate aren't doing anything today. They have no meeting schedules. It looks like president himself is still be in Delaware pretty much all day, since they're expected back in D.C. at the White House at 9-something p.m., so right before, you know, bedtime for President Biden. So that's the schedule for the president. But there are some things that have come about that we've been following, but then also some things that are possibly going to come happen and things we want to pray for. So let's start overseas in the news now out of Ukraine, Russia, and China, and Iran. What's going on there is that now Ukraine, with the war there, Russia has now become China's biggest oil supplier, really combating and taking a blow to the quote-unquote sanctions put on by the United States, by the EU, and really it's been helping Russia. There's some belief that eventually the profits that Russian oil companies have been making with China will dwindle in the coming months as things start to slow down for China as they find other resources. But what's very interesting is in this article from the BBC is it talks about all the way at the bottom is that China is not only buying oil from Russia and helping profit and make them survive these quote unquote sanctions from the US, but that China has been importing 260,000 tons of Iranian oil last month, its third shipment of Iranian oil since last December, and China has continued to buy Iranian oil despite U.S. sanctions on Iran. So you're seeing this other economy being built with people who are building and really standing with and against the United States based upon tariffs, sanctions, etc., what the case may be. And if you saw yesterday, we've been praying about it and becoming aware of it lately, is the election in Colombia. So now you have a former communist who they're calling a guerrilla fighter, a former political activist that they're calling, but is ultimately a former witch, come into power in Colombia. Now it shakes out of, okay, well, how does this play out for not only the relations with the U.S. and South America and Colombia, but what does this shape out with relations between Iran, Russia, China, Venezuela, Nicaragua, et cetera there. So we're seeing some things play out, things we want to be aware of. there as well. And Europe, and more specifically Germany, has decided to now temporarily, which is hilarious because the renewables that they went to don't ultimately supply the gas that they and really power that they need. They've gone back for the summer and possibly even the winter to power livelihood in Germany, as they are running short on oil and gas from Russia, because Russia is saying, fine, you want to put these sanctions on us, you don't want to do what we want to do, we're going to go sell it elsewhere, i.e. China. Now the rest of the world, whoever wants to play along by their rules. And so they're now going towards what they call a temporary shift to get themselves through the situation that they are in. And the goal is to, so that they can, during the summer, use the coal power plants and hopefully cut back on power usage via gas supply to store up their tanks so that they can have enough gas to last the winter. And winters are brutal in Germany. So their goal is to, okay, let's survive the summer and let's get to the winter with gas in the reserves so that people can be protected and have heat in their homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you're now seeing this shift. I just want to point this out just so that we're aware and really say of like, okay, what is happening? What are the things, you know, possibly U.S. could backfill this to help Germany, other countries as well, France, themselves, UK, Spain, all these other countries who are going to be going through the same dynamic here. Just something to be aware of, and then also pray for our administration to hopefully have an understanding of how to deal with this issue. Now, with that being said, let's shift domestically to some things that happened this weekend involving the President of the United States. So we saw, I'm not going to play the video, but I'll just pull this article. It has this picture here, President Biden falling off of his bike, which why the Secret Service would allow a 78-year-old man who has shown signs of not having the best, I wouldn't call it core strength, but center of gravity, first couple months in office, struggling to get up a staircase, why they would let him go on a bike to begin with and not have somebody right there by him, or heck, put him on a tandem bike so somebody else can control the bike and make it look like he's pedaling or something. Like, this is not good. And just want to pray for his safety and pray for those around him, because obviously, he is at an older stage in life. Thankfully, nothing happened. There was one doctor I saw said he's lucky he didn't break his hip. So thankfully, nothing happened. We do want to, you know, even though we may disagree with all his policies, we do want to pray for his safety and pray for those around him to be wise in what they do with him. As he's trying to sit there and ask questions and I mean, the journalists, they're doing their job, asking him questions about China, this, that, and the other. And it's just, want to pray for his safety. That's all we're going to say about that. There's nothing really good about this either way. But something interesting that came out, Elaine sent me this morning, is from Liberty Counsel talking about witches, warlords in the Supreme Court, and about how Liberty Counsel, a group of intercessors, were standing outside Capitol Hill in front of the Supreme Court and praying. And then they had witches, warlords chanting things, saying things, shouting over a megaphone, very derogatory terms towards them, saying things like blank your God, and you can fill in the blank, and your religion. Chanting music, and the longer they prayed, the more anxious and agitated the Satanists became. And so you're starting to see, and we talked about it last week when we were in DC a little bit, of the natural is revealing the spiritual of what's going on there. And I bring this up to say one thing is that, well, two things really. One, just because, you know, we're getting close to the overturning of Roe v. Wade with this Dobbs case in Mississippi. it's not time to give up. It's continuing to stay on the fight, stay on the wall, continue the fight, pray for this Golden Court case, pray for the justices and their safeties and their families and everybody involved, and continue to pray for the safety and mental peace for Justice Chief Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, that they make the decision in line with what the Lord's will is, as they both claim to be Catholic and really Christian to begin with, and say they believe in the Lord. And so we want to pray for them there. But number two is this stuff, and this is why we lean heavily on the experiences and the knowledge from our friends in South Africa, is they've experienced this stuff on a daily basis. They live with this stuff. And some of you, Nunkla, who's a former witch and family has passed of that, understand the ramifications of these very things that we're dealing with here now in America. Is it's been hidden for decades, and now it's starting to people – these witches and warlords are being emboldened to just blatantly be who they are and have been behind closed doors. And sometimes we may think here in America, so because we've been shielded by it, is, oh, well, this stuff has never gone on. It doesn't happen. And I hear that a lot from people who don't have an understanding of the spiritual here in America, say those things, but then now it's starting to come about in movies and TV shows. Now in everyday life that you're dealing with this stuff in schools, some of it being taught to kids, clubs, things of that nature. And it's not just the LGBTQ stuff. It's more than that. And so, they're crying out to these intercessors, but say this is let's continue to stand, continue to be involved. There's also, continued protest at houses, even Amy Coney Barrett, where they're wearing bloodstained clothes, crying out against dolls, pouring blood all over their body. Like, it's really weird. Some of the things they're talking about if the Roe v. Wade gets overturned, that they're going to go on a summer of continuing the summer of rage, but that they're telling you what they're going to do. This is domestic terrorism in blatantly in front of everybody's eyes. And so we want to continue to pray on this issue. This has been a fight for decades that people, some of you have been involved with, other people have been involved with around this country. And just look at the differences of honor and respect. It's okay. This got passed by law. Do we believe that it's right? No. Do we agree with it? No. But you know what? We're going to go about honoring and respecting and dealing with this, and honoring and respecting everybody involved, and trying to get this overturned within a civil manner. And obviously, things have gotten beyond that point for the left. There is no civility, unfortunately, there. But it's just look at the differences of either side, of how those who are standing for life are, look, okay, that's fine. Now we want, this is the law of the land for now. Now we're going to try to fight and overturn this to help us save lives. Where the left is losing his ever-loving mind and threatening and destroying and trying to be tyrannical in and of itself in trying to keep this in place. Okay. Last couple things. We really want to pray for Americans in this season and leaders as well, is because this is a, what we're walking through right now economically is a, we can sit here and say they're stupid, they're dumb, they're this, they're that, whatever, it's idiotic, yeah. But let's look at this from a different perspective of just saying, oh, they're wrong, they're making the wrong decisions, because that's easy to do. It's very easy to clearly see that. But let's ask ourselves is, okay, if we were going to put ourselves in the shoes of the president, and I'm going to pull up this article first to kind of give a background and a foundation for what I'm going to talk about, is how Biden is claiming that a recession is not inevitable and tells Americans they shouldn't believe economists' warnings. And obviously part of that, of why he's saying that, is because he wants to be the optimist. That's kind of the job of the president, no matter the economy that they inherit or deal with and turn in either direction. When President Trump took in a bad economy from President Obama, when he was campaigning, he said, this is a horrible economy. The stock market's fake. Their gains are fake, blah, blah, blah. But the minute as he started winning, was raising in the polls, and towards the end of his campaign, he started, I'm going to turn this around. It's going to be the greatest economy, yada, 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 yada. It's either horrible, the foundation is rotten, or it's the best economy ever. Like, it can't be both at the same time. And I think you're still seeing the what is happening now is the underlying decay that has been there even before President Trump took office. And part of it is the way the economy works, is there's a host of issues, but I'm not here to get into that. But my point is in saying this is, okay, if we're seeing that CPI is going high, PPI, manufacturers cost is going higher, causing inflation to go higher, causing interest rates to go higher because of the Fed. Inflation is getting to the point of where it's continuing to rise. You know, it's at a 40-year high, all this stuff. And you're seeing the shift towards green energy and all this stuff away from fossil fuels. Let's ask ourselves is, okay, if I were to put myself in their shoes, why do they wholeheartedly believe, without a shadow of a doubt being blinded, that this is the way to go? Government stimulus is the way to go, where even the Hill pointed out in saying that trillions of dollars of stimulus deployed by the Trump and Biden administrations, and I'm quoting the Hill, also help fuel the current inflation that we are in. So it's not just a Biden, Trump, Republican, Democrat. It's a government issue of, why do they think stimulus works? Why do they think this happens? And the biggest, why do they think, you know, green renewable energy is all this, and why we need to, you know, control things via man's intellect and all this stuff? It's because they're denying God and the reality of God. Is they don't want to, you know, walk with the Lord. And we can all be guilty of that at some point in some time. And this is where we need to cry out for the Lord to walk with us on an everyday basis, to give us the wisdom that we need. Is this green energy, quote unquote, renewable energy, the way to go? Is it actually as beneficial to society and the world and the land as people claim it is? Are we looking at the full facts of the realities of what is going on here? Because there's a lot of questions that aren't being answered. And so we want to start there and putting ourselves in this situation and understanding, okay, how are we looking at this situation? And if you look at how they look at it, is the reason they want to get away from fossil fuels, and I'll summarize it as this, is they think, well, there's not enough supply of oil in the long term, so we need to shift away from it, from something that is quote unquote renewable, because they don't think that oil is actually renewable. I don't have the answer to that. If you do, please help me understand, is oil renewable? Can it replenish itself under the ground? I've heard some rumors that it is. I haven't studied it long enough to sit here and say, yes, I fully understand it and all this stuff, but I digress. And so we're sitting here seeing this recession on the peak of it, inflation continuing to rise, not enough supply for energy, not enough supply coming for wheat and very simple things, gas, cars, houses, et cetera, and stuff. And with rising interest rates, that's going to be harder to come by. But I want to point this out is, the President Biden was asked some questions from Josh Boak from the AP in saying, he says, you've got serious economists who warn of a recession next year. What should Americans believe? And Biden goes out and says, we shouldn't believe them. You shouldn't believe the warnings, that they should just say, let's see which is current. And we're past that point of waiting and seeing. I think the clear indicators are there that there's something that is coming and people need to prepare. That's what economists do. And Boak also noted, he said, that Americans have been less dependent upon unemployment benefits and the government aid, and for yet more of them say they're having trouble with meeting their weekly expenses. What's the paradox, he pressed, and really to deal with hopefully getting President Biden to understand that, look, they don't have government stimulus. What are they supposed to do? Do you print more money? Do you just wait around? Janet Yellen and even President Biden have said, well, Americans have high savings rates. The question is, well, how did they get there? Was it because of government stimulus? Was it because they were smart with their money? Was it because they were prepared? And Biden's like, well, they can hold it off. Janet Yellen says that, she says, the rate of inflation could come down over the coming months. A possible gas tax holiday, which would be utterly disastrous. Larry Summers points that out and says, okay, you do that, but you're eventually going to have to pull that back. And so here we are seeing these decisions being made that don't actually bear the fruit. And Janet Yellen should know this. She's a very smart woman. She's a very educated person who was the federal chair before Jerome Powell. And so you would hope that they understand these things, but this is where we want to put ourselves in these positions. And the best way to summarize this is they're trying to play God, and we're denying God in all aspects of reality, from the economy to family to education to life in and of itself. And this is where we as a ask ourselves is, where have we as a church walked away from the stances and the battles that the Lord has called us to? Where have we walked away in our daily lives and our family lives? And this is the pruning season that we're in. Let's prune this stuff out. And Natasha in her repentance book talks about of how if you're dealing with someone or you're dealing with something in your life and you don't want to deal with it, how she and her experiences will ask someone is, do you want to continue in sin to go to hell? And basically meaning that, like, if you're not willing to give this up, then you're eventually going to hell. And it's pretty rough descriptor of how that walks out. But the reality is that, like, look, if we're not willing to give up these sins and even go back and read Jeremiah 14 verses like 9 and 10 and further down after that of how these, you know, the Israelites at that time wanted to hold on to the things that were carrying them down, that anchor just dragging them down. And the Lord's trying to say, let it go. Come up with me. Come higher with me, or lower with me, however you want to put it, and be at that place with me to where we can commune. And so we want to do that. We want to pray for and intercede for our Republican and congressional Democratic Senate leaders, that they stand against, and specifically this Bernie Sanders agenda of continuing to hand out stimuluses and continue to put us in this road that we are on economically, that the Lord has showed us could cripple us for the next 3 to 4 generations. This still applies. And then also at the same time, we want to continue to pray for our leaders, current and future, to understand the decisions that they're making and see the fruits of what has, or lack thereof, of fruits that have happened over these last couple months, and know that as these midterms and primaries, more primaries come up tomorrow, the Americans vote based upon biblical moral values and picking leaders who can decide what to do next and supporting the original intent for this nation and to stand up for freedom so that we can be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And I want to end on an actual great note from this weekend. The FINA World Swimming Association has now restricted biological males who identify as females from competing in elite swimming competitions. And they're saying there's going to be a section for men, women, and an open category. They're still deciding on how they're going to do that. Basically to say, if you've altered your basically biological DNA based upon science, you are no longer a male and or a female, so therefore you need to go in your own category. Now, it's a question of, okay, that's partially a smart move, but in reality is you're still allowing these mental illnesses to go on, and they're claiming Leah Thomas now doesn't have a place to swim, or she does. Again, his name is not Leah. His name is William Thomas. We can't keep continuing to play this game. He needs help in all of itself, just as even the people who are these pro-abortionists who are protesting outside the houses of the justices is they need help. They need deliverance. They need the same grace that the Lord's shown us. And because there may be some trauma in their life, whether it be sexual, whatever the case may be, that the Lord needs to walk them through. And so we can't sit here and just completely dog them and say, okay, if they have the passion to stand up for this, what happens when God delivers them, heals them, transforms their lives, because we're showing love, or we're being that example for Christ, that light for Christ in our everyday walk and our interactions with them. Some may not, but some will. Some will be touched by the love of God as we walk it out within our daily lives. And so we want to end there to start off this week is how do we go from this habitations of the Lord, of these short-term revivals, to a long-term habitation of walking with the Lord. And it starts in our personal lives, then it goes to our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, our districts, counties, parishes, states, provinces, and the nations, and the rest of the world. But it has to start with each of us individually. So blessings to each and every one of you. We'll see what we'll do for noon prayer today, and then we'll be back at Christian Center this week. And continuing to stand on the wall, praying for the office of the president and for God's will of this nation, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.